All right, if you'd take your Bibles, please, and turn me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to pick up where we left off 2 weeks ago when we were sharing some thoughts about praying for our country, praying for those that we consider to be unloving, sometimes even enemies. Yet God has called us to pray for them. So I want to read again, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible tonight, the first 8 verses of 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I want you to listen intently as we emphasize some thoughts in this regard on instructions for prayer, and specifically praying for our country, praying for our leaders over us. First of all, then I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be offered on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in positions of authority or high responsibility, that outwardly we may pass a quiet and undisturbed life, and inwardly a peaceable one in all godliness and reverence and seriousness in every way. For such praying is good and right, and it is pleasing and acceptable to God our Savior, who wishes all men to be saved and increasingly to perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the divine truth. For there is only one God and only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people, a fact that was attested to at the right and proper time. And of this matter I was appointed a preacher and an apostle, a special messenger. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I do not falsify when I say this. A teacher of the Gentiles in the realm of faith and truth. I desire, therefore, that in every place men should pray, or mankind should pray, without anger or quarreling or resentment or doubt in their minds, lifting up holy hands. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the testimony that has been left to us in this revelation of how we are to pray. Pray, Father, we might take this to heart and we might understand that the emphasis over the past few weeks is not by accident. It's of your divine directing, and we pray that you'd help us to realize that as Christians, we cannot afford not to have a prayer life. We will suffer greatly, and we will suffer consequences because we're not seeking thy face. So I pray that you would instill in our hearts a desire to seek thy face, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This phrase, first of all, does not refer to a time element. All right? It's speaking of importance or priority, first of all. And he goes on to say, I admonish and urge that petitions or supplications we have in the King James Bible. That's just a simple word for asking. I mentioned this, I guess it was on Sunday evening, that that word to ask in the English means to beg, or to pray means to ask or beg. That's the word that we have here, petition. Prayers is a generic term that's used in the Bible for any communication with God. Thirdly, we see there intercessions. We spoke about this last time, referring to requests made on behalf of others. Going before the Lord as a go-between, to stand between them and God Almighty as an intercessor. That's a responsibility that you and I have as believers. And then that fourth one there is very important. Thanksgivings. Thanksgivings be offered, notice, on behalf of all men. Have you ever thought about this? It's my responsibility to thank God on the behalf of others who may not be thanking God. I have a responsibility to go to Him and say, thank you, Lord. I tell the kids at camp whenever I'm down there, if we do popsicles, I say, all right, I'm handing you a popsicle. What's Mr. Brainerd's rule? You have to throw the wrapper in the trash. All right? And I said, now what's going to happen if you don't? And they always get bug-eyed. Mr. Brainerd has a long memory. And whenever next time rolls around and popsicle time comes, I'm going to remember. And you should see them running around, pick them up, throw them in. They're doing it for other people. This is what's amazing. There was one little boy who picked up three the other day. And I said, thank you so much for doing that. He said, I'm going to get a popsicle next time. Okay? Now, it was a motivational type thing for him, but he was picking up other people's that he found and put them in the trash can. Well, I'm helping him to learn. And, you know, we need to be more conscious of this. Yes, we live in a world of ingrates. We live in a world where people don't think about, I should be thanking God right now. When your feet hit the floor in the morning, do you thank God you lived through the night? All right, that you're alive and you're moving? Do you thank God for all the things that happen? Well, there's some things it's hard to thank God for. Yeah, you need to thank Him for those things because it draws you closer to Him. It shows that you got to depend on Him more. Instead of trusting in your own wits and your own ideas and stuff, trust in Him. Draws your attention that way. And notice that phrase, all men. We talked about this last time. All means all. That's all means. You know, it's always easier to pray for family. And don't you find that easy to do? Praying for family, man, that's just like that. Friends, oh, we pray for our friends. But all men, they need to be saved. They need to be transformed by the gospel. And it's not up to me. Now get this, folks. This is where we make our mistake. They're probably not going to get saved. Really? Well, thank you, God. Thank you for deigning that for us. You know what we need to do? I wish our legs could turn around the other way so we could kick ourselves in the rear end. When we get that kind of little nasty thing, well, they're probably not going to be saved anyway. Who do you think you are? Did you get saved? Was that an impossibility? As sorry and no good as we are? Oh, not me. I'm not one of those sorry, no good individuals. You're the sorriest. Mark it down. If Paul could say, I am the chiefest of sinners, where does that put Todd Brainerd? It puts me in the same category, chiefest of sinners. You know, we get this crazy notion that somehow we're not as bad as everybody else. But we're just as sorry and no good, but we've got a wonderful Savior, amen? Who deigned to love us and to save us by His grace, and He didn't put you on the throne in His place to decide who may and who may not trust Jesus as their Savior. I'm told to pray for all men. So I have to pray for the squad. Okay? Much as it pains me, I have to pray for them. Why? Because my dear Lord Jesus saved me. And He's saved so many different individuals. I read just recently of an individual that trusted Christ at age 61. Lived a life of, just unbelievable. But God got a hold of their heart and they were transformed by the gospel. And everyone around him said, this person's totally different. Got saved, got right with God, and their whole life has changed. Isn't that wonderful? Can God still do that? Yes. But if you've got a God that's this big, in your thinking, He's this big, because after all, you know, He has to consult with me about some things, you know. No, He don't have to consult with us at all. He's the God of the universe. And so what we need to do is humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and pray for all men. Pray for all men. You mean I got to pray for that person that said something nasty about me on social media? I've got to pray for them? Yes. And by the way, you need to understand that they probably were right. Oh, not me. Yeah. Because you're all bent up and torqued up about it. That's why. You see, folks, this Christian living is real. It's not this made-up Walmart brand Christianity that just fits everybody. You know, as a kid, I prayed for Neil Carmichael because Neil Carmichael was the one that I got my clothes from. All right? I said, I'd see something that I really liked. I said, Lord, would you please make sure that shirt makes it through Neil? Now, Neil was bigger than I, all right? So it took me a while to grow into it, all right? I was the one with the baggy sleeves and the baggy bottom. But sooner or later, I would grow into it, and I would look as good as Neil Carmichael, okay? You know what? That's the way things were. He had the nicest satin shirt. This is dating things, folks. This was 1975 when satin shirts were in. And he had the nicest satin shirt. And I said, I want that shirt. Okay? You know who got it? Eric Woods. I watched Eric come walking into church, and I had my head down. I looked up to the ceiling and back down again. I didn't get that shirt. Eric Woods got it. Okay? So I had a competitor. Got that satin shirt. I did finally get one. I got it from Eric O'Pager. Eric O'Pager had a satin shirt, and I finally got my satin shirt from that, you know. But it was, you know, it took me a while. I had to grow into some of those things. How many of you were always perfectly fitted as you grew up? All your clothing just fit perfectly well. Not me. It was, you know, roll them up, make them bunched up, you know, put it in there and everything is wadded up there, right? Everybody know? Am I the only one here that knows anything about that? Yeah, we all did it. I look at the old, I like to watch old movies, and I was watching one the other night on YouTube, and there was a fellow standing there, and he had the baggiest britches, and he was a cowboy. You can't be a cowboy with baggy britches. I wouldn't accept it, but he did. And he was standing there like this with his belt was right up here, all right, and his britches were all baggy, and I said, that man looks awful. And then I said, that's what you look like, Todd. Yeah. Baggy britches, you know. You had to grow into them. Well, I want to tell you something. This idea of the Christian life is this one-size-fits-all type thing like you get at Walmart, a little onesie, doesn't work with God. He wants you to get out of yourself and start praying for others. If when you look at somebody's name, it's just critical, 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 erase their name and put your name. And then start writing things about you. You know what you find out? You're not as holy as you think you are, if you're honest. You're really honest. God is sending a wake-up call to Christians in this passage of Scripture. Wake up. You're not as great as you think you are. You're not as glorious as you have imagined yourself. You're not a legend. You know, have you heard that expression? They're a legend in their own mind. There's some people that believe that. You know, they're walking up here right next to Jesus. And everybody else is down here with Judas. Yeah, they haven't made it to my level. It's very easy to pray for family and friends and loved ones, but it should not end there. Bible says that we should pray for our enemies, for those who despitefully use us, for those we have conflicts with. We should pray for those who annoy us. Don't you like that? Can you pray for somebody that annoys you? You know, the most annoying thing is at supper time. And we got rid of our phone, so it's not like it used to be. And I've got my phone number on the do not call list. It works sometimes, but usually it's a medical company, all right? Hello, Pastor Brainerd. We've got this order for you. I said, I haven't ordered anything. Well, I understand that you're using the Dexcom meter like that. We'd like to get your supplies out to you. I said, I've got a different company that I'm using. And they call at supper time, all right? That's when they call. Or when you put the lever back on the lazy boy chair. Relax. Oh, what's the emergency? What could possibly be? Dexcom. Beep. And I put them on call block. I love that feature. Such a wonderful feature. But do you realize that God said don't do that with people that annoy you? Pray for them. What, Lord? You want me to pray for them? They're the most annoying people in the world. Stop. Back it up a little bit. What am I like to others? Okay? Ask your wife if you're married. Now, Ben, you don't have to ask your wife. But we're still praying. But, fellas, if you don't know what you're like, ask your wife. She'll be more than glad to let you know. Hey, Dr. Hobbs challenged us many, many years ago. I remember that. He said, if you've got a problem, you think you're really good, go ask your wife, fellas. And then, women, ask your husbands. Now, some of them, unless y'all have had a prenuptial agreement that you would never criticize each other, which some people, I'm sure, do that, you know, you'll find out some truth about yourself. My wife will help me out with repeating certain words and messages. Said, you're repeating this word over and over again. Thank you. I like that. I've asked her to do that ever since I married her. I said, honey, I want you to help me out because there's sometimes I repeat words or whatever. I want to know so I can learn to think about it and not be doing that because I don't want to be mundane and trite. I want to be thoughtful when I speak. Folks, I'm telling you something here. This matter of prayer is for people who are serious about following God. And people that annoy you need your prayers. And when you start praying for those that annoy you or that you have conflicts with and so forth, you know what it does to your spiritual tenor? It starts to change. And I stop being so critical about others because I see myself in the mirror of God's Word. So you know what? If Paul says he was the chiefest of sinners, what does that make me? Lord, help me to humble myself under your mighty hand and to pray for all men. Father in heaven, I thank you for this time together. Lord, it's so easy to slip into this mold of thinking that we're pretty good and the Bible messages really don't apply to us anymore because we've got that second blessing. We're living on a different plane now, we think. But Lord, you've told us that we're to pray for all men. That means for those who despitefully use us, those who persecute us, those that we have conflicts with. Lord, I pray that you would teach us from your word how to be humble servants of thine. Lord, for you to love a whole entire world and every person that's ever been given a soul so much to send your only begotten Son, we cannot even fathom that kind of love and that kind of grace. But that's the kind of love and the kind of grace that you want us to show toward others because we've benefited from your grace and your love. Help us in that regard, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.